I've been feeling a little preoccupied. Sometimes I hear, "Don't you worry about a thing. Everything will be all right. There, there. Now, now. My, my." And I'm sure that you can read this week's Bible passage and hear this calm and soothing voice of Jesus assuring that whatever the problem is, it's going to be all right as long as you stop worrying. And while I know Jesus to be a person of calm and peace, I don't think that the words here are about lessening anxiety or bringing a heart rate down. I don't think that's his point there. I really think that the words that Jesus are speaking are about preoccupation. Perhaps as in, you don't have to have the best food prepared by the best chefs. You don't need to know what the best wines are or what the most trendy cocktails are. You don't have to wear the most desirable clothes or the sharpest outfits. Stop your obsession with standing out because you have all the right flashy things. It's not about the stuff. Pay attention to God. Pay attention to justice. Pay attention to what you can do to follow God right now. That's enough. Do that. And I look at something like that, and I wonder if I can follow the advice as I drive my clean car with my not brand new, but nice suit and get a nice haircut and type sermons on my cool computer and then post it on my blog, which will import to Facebook and all that. And I also wonder if I'm missing a whole lot more in this reading. You see, I just sort of gave it a 21st century rich American perspective. But the sermon that Jesus preached, this Sermon on the Mount, was preached to poor people on a hillside. It wasn't preached to rich American people. Yet I still think it's about preoccupation. See, of course you need food and water and clothing. Everyone needs food and water and clothing. And for the record, shelter is not in this particular passage. The people in Palestine where Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, they weren't so worried about shelter. It wasn't really a worry of the time. Everyone who needed shelter had shelter, and if you didn't have shelter, you didn't need it. Being preoccupied with the idea that you might not have enough, though, it doesn't do anything good. Being overwhelmed with, preoccupied with, worried about, I'm not going to have enough. Jesus' presentation here to anyone, I think, is keep focused on God. Keep focused on justice. Take care of today. Then take care of tomorrow, tomorrow. And still, in the first case and in the second case, I wonder if I can follow the outright advice, or at least the attitude that the advice calls for, which is keep focused on God. Keep focused on justice. And you're wondering now, why does he keep saying keep focused on justice? Because I don't see justice written anywhere in there. What is this? Is this one of those, you know, Kirk's one of those left-leaning, justice-seeking people, and I've been warned about that. Or maybe you're thinking, why do you keep saying justice in your marvelous paraphrases? I'm not sure which one you're thinking. Well, it comes in verse 33. It's in the Bible. Listen to this. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We might have sung a song that had that in there today. Anyone remember? Remember that time when we sang that song that had this verse in there? Today we did. Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. I remember that time. No, it was this time. I was just seeing if we remembered just back 15 minutes. The word translated righteousness in this verse is, I'm going to try and say it in my best look, I know how to pronounce Greek words, voice. Dikaiosune. It sounds more Italian. Dikaiosune. It carries a meaning that is more complex than the word righteousness usually conveys. Righteousness brings to mind, like, you know, following the rules, staying away from the sinful stuff, being perfect as God is perfect. That's kind of like this righteousness flavor that we get. But dikaiosune, or yasune, It's a word that carries with it this idea of justice. See, dikaiosune comes from diakos, which means equitable in character or in action. And diakos comes from dike, which means right, as in just. The root of, I gotta say it again, it's hard. Dikaiosune, the root of dikaiosune is justice. But it's more than just justice, because righteousness is flavored in it too, because it's used. It's used in a lot of places in the Bible, almost all in the New Testament. Well, because the Old Testament isn't written in Greek. There is a Greek version of it, but Matthew 6:33. If you really want to grasp the meaning of the verses, this verse and others, where dikaiosune appears, you should probably say righteousness and justice together. So that it's the best way to capture the flavor, because that way you get to understand what dikaiosune means. So Matthew 6:33 would read, "But strive first for the kingdom of God, his righteousness and justice, and all these things will be given to you as well." And by all these things, if you look back, he says, I know you need all these things. You know, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. There's other verses. Matthew 5:5. I preached about it a few weeks ago. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice, for they will be filled, from the Beatitudes. Romans 1:17, for it is in the gospel the righteousness and justice of God are revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous and just will live by faith. Titus 3:5, this is not on a negative, but it's on you don't do it, God does it. Jesus saved us not because of any works of righteousness or justice that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you do suffer for doing what is right and just, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. Matthew 21:32. For John came to you in the way of righteousness and justice, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. Even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. Strive first, or seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and justice, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, I know that we're in a financial, you know, thing, and we voted, and we're changing the way we do ministry, and I've talked about it a little bit before, and I'm worried. I'm not adding any time to my life, but I'm worried. I'm terrified that this whole transition from being a church with a full-time pastor to a part-time pastor, how that's going to go. I'm worried what comes next for me. I admit it, I'm selfish, you know. I'm the guy who, you know, is looking at part-time employment instead of full-time. I get it. How does someone who now pays out just as much as they take in bills and everything, go to pay the bills when their income's cut in half? You know, I mean, that's a worry. But I also realize as much as I can, and I've got to speak as the pastor and the person at the same time and know that there's a disconnect a little bit there. But I realize that none of us here will make our church any better if we're preoccupied with scarcity. We can acknowledge that there are problems. We can acknowledge that we've got to make changes. But if we're just preoccupied with not having enough, that doesn't do anything. I know that I'll not be it. Any better off if I'm preoccupied with, I'm not going to have a job. I guess I'll just worry about it. That doesn't do anything. I'm not adding any time. I'm not adding any days to my life. I'm probably taking days off of my life because the stress level goes up. So advice to all from these verses today. Great advice from Jesus. Advice that I hope I can follow. Advice that I strive to follow. Advice that I hope we all strive to follow. And when we fail, God says, my grace is with you. You cannot serve both God and money. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness and justice. And that's enough for today. Amen.